dead in the water. That's the description of the grain markets after little movement on Wednesday from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. He joins us on today's Hoosier Ag Today podcast on this 16th day of October 2025. It's brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. They've been proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Find them online, ffbt.com. Market analysis is on the way with Tom in just a little while. We've got the Indiana Farm Forecast with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. He's got rain on the way this weekend. When and how much, he'll let you know. And in the news, Greg Allen talks about new soybean products based on research from the United Soybean Board. And C.J. Miller provides a crop update. The news is next here on the Hat Podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
How soy-based products have opened new markets for American farmers and a harvest progress update from the field. I'm Greg Allen. This is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by BW Fusion. Grow smarter with BW Biocast Max, the innovative biostimulator from Biodyne. It reduces fertilizer use, boosts yields by up to 5%, and works on any crop. BW Biocast Max, efficiency from the ground up. Across the country, researchers and manufacturers are turning soy into everything from car tires to tennis shoes, offering greener, renewable alternatives to petroleum-based products. United Soybean Board Director Rob Ewalt talks about one standout, soy foam.
With partnerships and investing some of our checkoff dollars, trying to figure out a safer way for our firemen to fight fire. And that is using some of the protein from the soybean to that soy foam and making it very user-friendly and much safer for our firemen.
But the innovation doesn't stop there. Goodyear has developed soybean oil-infused tires that stay more flexible in cold weather and require less petroleum, without compromising performance. According to the company, their soy-based tires are already rolling on tens of thousands of vehicles. And now you can even drive your soybean tires on soybean asphalt.
It's been a big boom for the industry and for these smaller communities to be able to asphalt their roads at a lot lower price. So it's really some great stuff coming out on the industrial side.
In the footwear world, companies like Skechers and emerging eco brands are introducing shoes made with soy-based materials. The USDA says that the bio-based products industry supports 3.9 million American jobs and contributes $489 billion to the U.S. economy. Experts say these products aren't just eco-friendly. They're also opening up new markets for soybeans, creating a win-win for consumers and the American farmer.
Stop overspending on fertilizer. Biocast Max by BW Fusion helps growers cut up to a total 65 pounds of collective nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium per acre without sacrificing yield. Biocast Max is engineered to release nutrients that already exist in your soil, saving you up to $24 per acre. With Biocast Max, you put less in and get more out. This is how we farm now.
Learn more at www.bw-fusion.com/biocastmax.
Even though we don't have an update on harvest progress from USDA because of the ongoing government shutdown, C.J. Miller has this update firsthand from an agronomist in northwestern Indiana.
In our Channel Seed Harvest Update, Marty Park, an agronomist with Gutwein Seed Services based in Jasper County, shares his thoughts on harvest completion.
I would say that on the soybean crop, we're essentially done. There's just a few fields here and there left, but a lot of people finished up in the last 3-4 days. On the corn, I would say all in all, we're probably approaching 40 to 45%.
And how are soybean yields so far near the Rensselaer area?
All in all, soybean yields have been, I guess I would say, better than expected for most growers, whether you're in one of those dry areas or one of those really good areas that had lots of rain. Corn yields are all over the board, depending upon water holding capacity, how you manage disease, and the timeliness of your rainfall. But still, for what we went through with 5 and 6 weeks with virtually no rain and 90 plus degree temperatures, we're pretty fortunate to have what we have.
Check out my full channel seed harvest update with Marty Park with Gutwein Seed Services. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, putting together a pretty nice and dry Thursday across the region. Sunshine, blue sky, temperatures above normal. We're watching a major weather system work its way into the northern plains and across the upper Midwest. It doesn't do anything really that we need to pay attention to here today, but we are seeing some of this moisture move into the Great Lakes and Michigan for tomorrow. As a matter of fact, a large part of Michigan may be seeing some on-again, off-again scattered showers on Friday. I only mention this because I think the offshoot of that cloud cover will try and get down into northern tier counties of Indiana, at least maybe over the northern third and northern half of the state. I do not expect precipitation. I think we have another open day for harvest tomorrow, but just keep in mind it's not going to be quite as nice. Temperatures stay warm, but I think we see less sunshine potential. That takes us into the weekend, where we do see a frontal boundary working towards us right now. I think we get by with not much happening on Saturday, but we are going to be seeing overnight Saturday night into and through Sunday showers and thunderstorms in here. I'm going to pencil in 1/4 to 1.5 inches of rain. There will be some stronger thunderstorms somewhere. However, right now the forecast is putting them just a little bit farther back to the west. I think the key energy zones that we have to watch are going to be across parts of Illinois, but never say never. Moisture can get in here, or thunderstorms can get in here. We pause it for a stretch on Monday, staying warm, but cool air is coming, and that cool air comes with a secondary trough that rotates through the Great Lakes on Tuesday. I think this drags some scattered showers Tuesday morning through northern parts of Indiana. Not a lot, 1/4 inch or less, but it does open the door to cooler temperatures for Tuesday afternoon through Wednesday and into early Thursday. We want to stress, though, that it's not brutally cold in there, and temperatures are going to be trying to moderate some, so this is going to be a battle of winds back and forth, northwest versus west and southwest. I think the strong north winds win out again for Friday night into early Saturday, and then temperatures moderate quickly. A big warm-up on the way for the weekend of the 25th and 26th, and right on into the following week, the week of the 27th. With that warm-up, I think we string together probably a good 5 to 7 days of dry air again. Our next strong frontal boundary may not show up until a cutoff low tries to work into the western Corn Belt closer to Wednesday the 29th and Thursday the 30th. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added 3 new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with 7 new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Corn up, wheat down, soybeans unchanged. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. It's brought to you by the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. They remind you that the crop you're harvesting isn't the most important part of the farm this fall. You are. Please get home safe. Your family needs you. Final numbers from Wednesday trade coming in just moments. Right now, let's head to Chicago. We find Tom Fritz there with EFG Group. And Tom, as you and I talk here on Wednesday, day 15 of the federal government shutdown, we're seeing tensions with China rise as President Trump says he's considering cutting off business with China as it pertains to cooking oil. We assume he means used cooking oil that's kind of flooded the market here in the U.S. All these things happening, and yet soybeans finish unchanged on Wednesday. There's just a lot of trepidation out there right now, right?
Well, I think, you know, Eric, there's a lot of unknown out there. What's the yield? Where are we going to get any Chinese demand? You know, what was it? Last Friday? No, we're never going to get any Chinese demand. Over the weekend, he softens his tone. Okay. And then yesterday, oh, well, you know, we just may never do business with China ever again. Come on. What are you going to do about this? You know, so, you know, the political innuendo in our markets just, you know, really, you know, keep us paralyzed, if you will. But I will admit we had a hell of a, excuse my language, we had a very, very good NOPA crush number today. Market rallies off the news and can't sustain the rally. So what's the price action telling you? It says domestic business won't make a market. It may keep us alive, but it really won't make a market. So you see the soybeans sag back to unchanged. You mentioned the used cooking oil deal from China. Well, we stopped. We curtailed their imports of cooking oil. A number of months ago. So that's not an issue. And with the meal market, you know, I think you just watch the cash market. Cash market for meal just continues to move south as greater availability of soybeans is there. And so, you know, it's like we're stuck. And I don't know what's going to change that. Corn, we had a nice short covering rally today. What was it? Early this morning, it was announced that we saw South Korea in for a fair chunk of corn. Can't say it all comes from the U.S., but between Taiwan and South Korea, well over 300,000 tons of corn traded overnight. So, you know, I think that helped with the short covering, and then the fact that, you know, we really couldn't get the these corn to trade below 410. So, well, if we can't break it, let's do some short covering. I think that's what we saw in the corn market today. And, you know, then you have the poor wheat market. I don't know what to tell you about that. We had some nice reversals yesterday, but no follow through today. But they didn't negate the reversals. So, you know, once again, you know, here's a market that's stuck. It was interesting. The news wires came out with their estimates for export sales. Well, we're not going to have any, but they still come out with estimates. And, you know, it's, you know, what are you going to do with that? So, you know, long story short, grain markets are stuck until we start getting some concrete data from the USDA, because right now the price action is all we have to go on. And the price action is telling us we're not going anywhere, despite all the conversation about, oh, the yield's not there, you know, blah, blah, blah. But no, we're stuck.
That's Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On Wednesday, December corn did finish up 3 3/4, 4.16 3/4. March up 3, 4.32 1/4. Again, unchanged on November soybeans, 10.06 1/2. Same story for the January beans, 10.24 1/4. December wheat off a penny and a half, 4.98 3/4. December live cattle as we move into livestock up 27 cents, 2.46.77. And December lean hogs up 45 cents to 83.60. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.